Class. So a little review from yesterday. So yesterday we derived the first algorithm in reinforcement learning called the policy gradient. To do that, we build up the notion of the cost function, which is basically the expectation of the sum of rewards along the trajectories sampled from the agent, which was described by policy, interacting with the environment. And so this builds up the probability of this each trajectory. We saw that we can compute this trajectory with via only interactions with the environment. We don't need to know the exact dynamics of the environment. As long as we can sample from it, we can evaluate this expectation. So in practice, what we talked about that we would only estimate this stochastically. So we would sample some trajectories and write estimator for this. So here I write the estimator for one trajectory in a bit different form. So so here is a trajectory. You start from state one. You do action one. You get to state two, a two, etc. Through stat until you get to this terminal state. And I just wanted to look more closely at what different terms here do. So the gradient of the policy for the action at. This is just the optimal direction in theta space to change the probability of AT, right? Then this term so this term, which is 1 over the probability, attributes higher weight to less likely states. So less likely states are AT have more weight. And actually, the reinforcement signal is coming from this term, which is just like the sum of rewards obtained from state STAT until the end of the episode. So reinforcement signal. Like, if you imagine that the only reward is obtained in the end of the episode. Let's say if you play checkmate chess, and if you win, you get reward plus, and if you lose, you get reward minus one. Then Q can take only values plus one or minus one, right? So, if it's positive, the overall sign of this will be positive, plus sign. So this action will be encouraged next time. AT is encouraged. By gradient. And if it's negative, next time AT will be discouraged. So this is pretty simple, pretty intuitive algorithm that we derived yesterday. So today we actually will take this Q function and build on it to derive another algorithm. So here let's focus on Q. So we have a state st, and then at the point, we took action AT, and then followed the policy from that point on. But we could ask ourselves the question, what if we had taken a different action at this state? If we knew what the value of Q function was for those actions, we could compare those values with the ones we got and choose our action based on choose the action that would maximize its value next time. So the policy. And let's assume we know the exact value, not just the sampled one. Okay? So here QP of ST is equal. So I changed the notation a little bit here. It's conditioned on the fact that your trajectory starts from state ST, and the action at AT could be different. We can vary it through this parameter here. So, more explicitly, this is just the reward that you get along the trajectory. Yeah, just like to make sure we understand this, action A doesn't have to be taken by the policy P, but everything else starting from this point after this action is taken by policy P by, sorry. So like it's like we intervene for only one step and do another action and then let the policy do its own thing from that point on. So the idea of the new algorithm, like let's pretend we know what this Q function is. If we knew it, we could improve our policy. So this is the next iteration of the policy. By simply choosing greedily the action. So does this make sense as an improvement of the gradient of the policy? But before we use the gradient, now the idea is somehow to compute this Q of pi, and then so this would be computed for particular policy pi. But then to improve this policy, we would just greedily choose the action that maximizes Q for that policy. So the idea is that the original policy, let's say this is the probability, this is policy A, for some particular state S, and that's how it was before. And we, maybe we can draw the Q function to be like this. So right now, it's this policy is focused on taking values that are less than the optimal, as this is. So this is like a little bit confusing because this is probability and this is a Q function. So the idea is that like we can always improve our cumulative reward if we actually shift the probability of taking the optimal action a little bit. Well, not a little bit, globally. It's like a global move. Actually, it's a greedy move. If you, you can see that argmax of this is produces a deterministic function.
So how would you choose a step at which to intervene?
We'll compute it for all steps.
Oh, okay.
If you can compute it for all steps, then haven't you already solved the problem?
Yeah, exactly. It's just like another way to think about it for now, but it will actually lead to a different algorithm. It's a little bit better, though, because if you just have the policy, right, like you always have to run it all the way to the end. But if you have this information of the Q function, you can optimize the policy in a local manner. So because Q contains this global information about the distribution of cumulative reward.
Sorry, maybe this is a dumb question.
Oh, it's encouraged.
Yeah. How is this different from just solving a problem brute force?
Yeah, at this point, you're right. So, like, right now, probably you seem that you think that like the way we would compute Q would be restarting the simulation to this point, taking this action, computing the statistics from this like different trajectories, right? You compute statistics, you can compute Q, then you would say you would think that you need to change the action to. And repeat.
And you're also going from each trajectory. There's other actions in the middle, so you just have this
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Like it's impossible, right? Yeah, and this is you are right. This is not where we're going to.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do something.
Where are we going?
Yeah, it's, stay tuned. You know.
It's not what's going to happen.
Okay.
And first of all, this is computationally intractable. And second of all, usually we don't have the ability to come back to any state we want, right? Because we don't know the dynamics of the environment. Like if it tells us we start here, how do we actually go to that state? That's another problem. So of course, we will not take this approach.
Sorry, can you remind us what Q is?
Oh, yeah. It's actually, I've written it over there.
Like an intuitive description?
Oh, so it's a cumulative reward.
Right.
You get...
that you only compute it at the end of the trajectory.
No, you accumulate it along the trajectory. It's just that in the example I gave, the reward was given in the end of the trajectory. But usually it's that sum over all the reward you accumulate. Oh, there.
Yeah.
So it's a function that you give?
No, it's like a property of the environment, which depends on the policy you follow. That's why there is this pi. And the reason it depends on the policy is because trajectories, the probability of different trajectories depends on the policy. And so the reward you accumulate will also depend on the policy. So it's like, it's both. It depends on the policy and the environment. Good questions.
where were you giving an example where there was only a reward in the end?
Oh, this one.
Oh, the bottom two lines.
Yeah, just to understand what it does in the policy gradient. This gets stuck, huh? So a small digression first. This question. So far what we've been dealing with was episodic tasks. So episodic tasks are characterized by those terminal state that you want to get it to, or like usually games have those. But so, and for those tasks, the reward, I'll just rewrite it again. So because this sum is finite, because this terminal state exists, this sum is actually finite. That's infinite. Yeah, yesterday was a question, like, but sometimes, like, so this is episodic, right? But sometimes, like, we want to apply reinforcement learning to in different situations. Let's say you want to learn how to walk, right? Like, so there you're not interested in reaching any particular state. You just want to reach like some steady state that will make you walk, right? It's different. Like, if you like, let's say you would just put the reward for going forward and high. Let's say you have an agent that like. With some hinges and doesn't know what to do, but like you encourage it, give reward by going right and up. If you would just terminate this episode at time t, then you could see that like the agent would do something like jerky move, and after the time t, he's not encouraged to stay stable. So to deal with this problem, like there is another notion. How do you call this? Continuity. So really, like we want to go t to go to the infinity. We want a steady state, right? But if we would just use this. Definition, we would run into the problem because this could go to infinity as well. So to deal with this, a hyperparameter is introduced. It's called the discount factor. And the discount factor can be any value between 0 and 1, not including 1. So like, just to get some intuition, like when gamma goes to 0, so only Q function will prioritize immediate reward. And when in the opposite limit, when it goes to 1, it will prioritize cumulative reward. Usually when those algorithms are trained, gamma is pushed to this limit. So usually it's something like, and this gamma is actually mysterious, a little bit mysterious, but I will not get into it. Does this make sense? Oh, sorry. So, like, from now on, we will deal with this formulation of the Q function because it's a bit simpler annotation-wise. And actually, a policy gradient, it seemed like we didn't have this gamma before, but usually it's run with gamma as well. So what I want to do now is take this expectation value and unroll it, like go forward one step and see what happens. So if we take action t at time state as t, we will get a reward based on that action and state. Then there is this gamma factor. Then we have to average over all the possible next states, which is given by our environment. But depends on the state we were in at and the action we took. However, since we're dealing with like a probabilistic policy, we also need to average over all possible actions we could take after in that state. And then that state and action will have its own Q function that we don't know, but let's just go with it. So does this make sense? We just write Q in terms of itself by following the definition.
Can you just repeat
the motivation? Oh, the motivation? Because it will lead to the solution.
Say that again?
Motivation?
Yeah.
This is a step towards a solution. Basically, what we have now is called Bellman equation. Right? You can put all the values of Q function in a vector of size S times action. And so you have one on the left. Then you have a reward vector of the same size. Then you have Q function here on the right. And this, you can treat it as like operator or matrix, right? So all of this. Is a big matrix that you don't know.
Towards the actual solution?
Yeah.
Can you give us a sense of where we're going so we can like keep?
Mm-mm. So like we will use this formulation to determine Q. Like one way to determine Q, let's say you know, like I'll do this assumption that we do know P and pi and R. So we know everything about our the environment. And I'll show that in that case, we can actually find the Q function. And then I will drop that on time assumption, and I'll show how we can still find it, but like with stochastic interaction with the environment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you derive that equation? Or
So basically, look. So Q function at some state, there should be T here, ST, AT. OK, maybe like a picture will help. So you're here, right? STH. And then this state, this action in this state could lead to a bunch of different states, ST plus one. Right? Just like because of the stochasticity, right? It's if you, like, we don't know what this is, but this is specified by this probability, right? And in all those different states, we'll have a choice to take the next action. So this is given by P. And this is given by the policy. And here, at this step, we accumulate some reward. So, and the thing is that, like, this state action will have its own Q function. And the idea is to link this Q function at this point with this Q function, which is done via this Bellman equation.
But is there not a causality problem?
Yeah, we explored causality in the problem to do that.
Because then we do a summation about events in the future, calculate something in the past. Okay? Because the summation is not like on.
Yeah, exactly. Plus,
so this is the summation over S at t plus 1 and A at t plus 1.
Yeah, exactly.
And you already know u pi at s of t plus 1 and a of t.
You pretend you know, but you don't. But like, yeah. This is basically a recursive definition, right?
I mean, usually recursive definition is like, I would like probably have t plus 1 on the
side. Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, exactly. So this, like, this is called, because what you just said, it's called backup diagram. So you have, and then you have all the possible function at the layer step, and the Bellman equation flows like those value backwards in time, but it weights different Q functions at the next point in time by this probability of actually ending up in the state action.
And the question is that, is it physically possible?
Well, what do you mean? Like, we will not follow, we will not do this in practice. We will never take a step back. This is like, you know, it's a concept.
Okay.
And we'll exploit this to as a concept, does it make sense?
Yeah.
State. So how do we solve this? So, like, at this point, we assume that we know the dynamics and reward. We know everything about our environment. There's still a question, how do we solve this, right? So you see that T I defined, it's actually dependent on this gamma. And we will treat it as a linear map. Operator. So T is a function of all those things that we really don't really know about, like the reward, the dynamics. We know the policy, but in gamma. So imagine, like, if we initialize our Q function to some random values. So this is a new index. It's not a time index. It's more like algorithmic iteration index. And then we do this. at each k iteration, we apply this operator to our q function. So it can be shown that for gamma, like in this, so like as long as it's smaller than one, basically. No, just spot it. T is a contrastive map. So what it means is that if you take two values of Q, like Q1 and Q2, which are big vectors, right, with respect to L-infinity norm, and then you apply this operator to both of them. You will see that the distance between, so you have Q1, Q2, and some big vector space. You apply so this distance will be smaller than this distance. By a factor of at least gamma. So as such, when we do this iteration, we will produce a Cauchy sequence that converges to some fixed point. By the way, 1 and 2 here are different from the subscripts there. So like if you do this procedure infinite number of times, we converge to some fixed point. And what is the definition of the fixed point? So it's something that is not changed by your operator, right? But if you look here and there, you can see that this is actually our policy. So the fixed point values of the Q function are the satisfy Bellman equation. Therefore, it must be our Q of P.
Could you remind how the infinity norm works?
Oh yeah, it's like max. It's like the maximum value. You have two functions. You take the maximum difference, and that has to be that's your. Why is it infinity? Don't ask me.
Another question. So we get a solution to the Bellman equation, but is it?
Yeah, it's a one solution, the only one.
Can you say how you define this T?
T is over there. Is it like it's
oh.
All that operator.
I thought that was like the end of your.
No. Yeah. That's confusing. Yeah. Does this proof work? Matt? Does it?
Supposed to be a of t instead of t plus 1?
No, a t plus 1, right? Because it's somewhere where a t plus 1.
But t.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So T as an operator depends on the reward, the environment. Does it depend on the current state?
It's defined, like, it's a matrix, which is for given every S T A T value of Q will give you like that. Yeah, it's like, you know, so you, when you build this vector, right, you will you'll build it like for a state S1, a possible action 1,
yeah.
A2, A2, right?
So it has all possible.
Yeah, it has this like, yeah, it's some, in some, it doesn't depend on it, but it's inside of it, right? It's like a big matrix. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we need T to be constructive, because I could imagine this like a power method where I'm basically applying some sort of operator a very large number of times to extract the highest eigen vector.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's because everything there is like less than one. Everything is probability.
Okay.
Except the reward, but this is like a diagonal thing, I guess. I mean, this is contrastive only for gamma less than one. So that's actually why I do this discretion. Gamma has to be less than one. How do you prove it's contrastive? I don't know.
Like in many games, I guess there would be like a really large number of state action pairs, so we can't actually get T exactly.
Yeah, we can.
So you can't tell.
So like if you do this exactly, that would be called dynamical programming. So usually it's when you know the dynamics of the environment, but we're doing reinforcement learning, so we drop that assumption. That's the difference. Yeah. So like maybe like to build some intuition, let's take like a very, very, very trivial example. Let's imagine we have an environment with 5 states, and there is only one action. And no matter, like, you can only take one action, and it always leads to the right. So this is 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And you receive reward at only in the end. And let's imagine that at when we initialize our Q function, our first guess is just all zeros, right? And the probability each time is going from 1 to 2 is 1. P. And OK, I'll make our action. Well, action, we have no choice but to take one action. So. Doesn't matter, it's just 1, 2. So at Q1, when we apply that guy, what it will do, it will transfer the value of this reward to this state. We'll have at next point in time, at the next iteration, this will be reapplied, so the same value will come out. But now this guy will be defined in terms of this. But because it has a gamma will appear. So after, I think, 4 iterations, we'll get this. We'll get our solution. So like as Estelle said, it actually backs, like this backup diagram work in the reverse mode back in time.
Component of the last vector?
Oh, why is it zero? Yeah, so because this is terminal state, and what really happens here, you apply some action and then you go back to that action, but you don't receive any reward. So if you, you know, the backup diagram would be the value of this guy, which was initially zero, plus the reward you get. Like if you look at this Bellman equation, which is always zero.
So.
Oh, sorry, like. Yeah, you're right. Like, something like this.
Okay, you're missing one.
Yeah, cool.
So you're propagating the final reward according to like the various probabilities distribution all the way to your current state.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Like if in a harder environment, right, you would have to do there would be different options and there's like branching out and you branch like in a way. Something.
And then can you remind what the purpose of gamma is?
Oh, gamma is to make it contrastive here. Like as a operator, but the intuition is that it's here. It's this discount factor, which puts priority on immediate reward over rewards you obtain in the long run.
Which doesn't happen there.
It does happen here. We have gamma, right, everywhere here. This is gamma, by the way.
Yeah, so there is gamma, but where?
Oh, gamma is like it's a hyperparameter. So it's not a property of the environment. It's a property of the algorithm.
But what is the immediate reward?
Oh, immediate reward occurs only at this step. So when you go from state 4 to state 5, you receive reward of 1. Here, reward is 0, 0. This is my definition.
Yeah, so there's no immediate reward at every step other than the last step.
Exactly, yeah. But so the Q function in the end is that the reward that you would get starting from this state, which is gamma to 3 or 4 or something like that. Yes.
Are the entries of this column vector labeled by ST and AT?
Yeah.
We should remove
1, 0
from the top of the first.
Yeah, it seems like. Yeah. Oh, no, I need it. Okay, so now we have our algorithm, right? We use this procedure to evaluate Q of P by. Oh, sorry, and then there's like pi everywhere here. Like everywhere. And then for given, so we run this procedure until convergence. So we know all the Q values for all state actions for this policy pi. And then we use this method to improve the policy. We produce policy pi prime, then we run again this algorithm for this new policy pi prime until convergence and over again until. And the thing is that you don't even need to run this until convergence. You can just run one step of it, improve, like get a better estimate. Because, like, let's say, like the true value for state actions at some point are 0.9, 0.1, I don't know, actually, why 5, 3, and 1, right? You don't need to know those exact values to improve the policy correctly. Like, only even if you had this estimate, that would be good. So we can visualize this process like this. So you start with some policy pi and q pi. Then you q, random value of q. Then you evaluate this q. Q equals q pi. And then you run this improvement step to improve your policy. So pi equals r max with respect to Q. And then you do it over and over again. And where you converge to is optimal policy by star Q star. So it's the best policy of your environment, the global one.
So in order to run this this procedure, you need to know T, basically, iteration.
Yeah.
And T is made up of pi, which I guess at the very beginning is just a guess.
Just a random, yeah.
And then P, which depends on your environment, which...
Which is you don't know. Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah, but here I assume I don't know.
Okay, here you're assuming that you know in order to do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So actually, something cool happens. So like, what is this optimal policy pi star? Right? So pi star so you can write pi star in terms of Q star. So Q star is the Q function, is a cumulative reward you will get if you, let's say S, and you take some action A, could be any action, but then you follow your optimal policy, right? So pi star is actually max over this. Does this make sense? This is kind of trivial, but subtle.
Can you say that again?
Right. So what is Q star, right? So it's you're at state S, and you can take different actions, A, right? 1, 2, 3. But once you've taken any of those actions, you have to run the optimal policy. Well, I mean, this will lead to some state, other state, ST plus one, and then from the state, you need to run your policy. But this action doesn't have to, like, you know, you can evaluate this Q function for all those actions, right? And the policy, the optimal policy will choose this action optimally. And this is just the expression of that. So it turns out, like, just there are like those Bellman equations for policy pi. There are Bellman equations for this optimal policy p star pi star. And the difference is subtle, but very important. So here the difference. Instead of averaging over our policy, we'll pick the best value, as I written there. And we pick this value from this. Okay? So this is called a Bellman optimality equations. So just like a normal Bellman equation had its own operator, we have it here, we have it also an operator, which includes its max thing. But now it's nonlinear, that's a big difference, right? Because you have to do this max operation. And it's also contrastive, and we can show that we go through the same steps to show that by applying T star, we will converge to Q star. But here we don't even have the explicitly of the notion of policy, right? Here we had it because we had to take this action with respect to the policy. Here we just always choosing it based on the maximum value. So like you can think of this as doing that, but in one step. Instead of doing this convergence to the value of pi, and then this improvement, we will do both operation in one step. Okay, now we will get to the reinforcement learning. So to do that, it's pretty, like this is like how you do it. You just write everything as expectation value. So this is unknown too, plus gamma and then expectation. Same expression, just different form. And what we do in practice, we just sample this. So we do one step. And this ST plus one is a one instant sampled from this distribution, from your environment.
Probability P on the environment?
By interacting with an environment, just via interaction. So doing step action AT at step configuration ST will produce, you know, like as I, you know, you have an agent which received the state ST, and now it does this action AT plus one, which goes to the environment. And the environment produces the next. So you can always sample from the environment. That's the assumption. You don't know this probability explicitly, but you assume you can sample it. Like if it was a robot acting in the real world, sampling in the environment would be just like leaving, right? Like.
So you can sample from the environment without knowing the probability.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, let's say you have this, you know, D-wave machine and you want to optimize the annealing time, like schedule, right? Just by doing action, you sample from that environment.
But one sample doesn't tell you much about the probability space.
Tells you enough, turns out. All Monte Carlo algorithms are based on that.
Can you explain how you got from the second to last line to the last line? Why is R plus Y max Q star equal to probability?
Oh, it's so you see, before that was equality, and now it's a weakly sign, which I don't know what it means. It's just like a sample.
No, I think she means that it looks like you're writing squiggly P,
But oh. It really meant that S is sampled from
P. Yeah, so those squiggles are different squiggles. This means ST plus 1 was sampled from P, and that is just like, it'll be equal if you repeat this procedure infinite number of times.
You just said, I don't know if you were joking, but you said, finally we have reinforcement learning.
Yeah.
But is there a reason why writing it in this form?
Yeah, because like now I don't assume I know P. Now my assumption is that I can interact with P. And like the magic is that it still works. It turns out like there is like a little bit better a better way to run this algorithm. Oh, by the way, there should be like all those indices here. P plus 1. No, this is now iterative algorithm, how we improve our estimate for Q over time, algorithmic time. So like, let's say we have some estimate for Q function. At the next step, we will take our, actually this should be reduced to 1 hour. So this is learning rate. Just like some small number. So at the next time, we'll take mostly the previous values, but we will correct them by the difference, which was there on the right and on the left. So this is called the temporal difference. So this tells you what's the expectation for the reward if you do this action on this state. And this tells the same, but after gathering one experience, one interaction with the environment, you collect one reward. And you basically try to see if those things match. And the idea at the convergence, they will match. And you want to minimize the difference. So this is called Q-learning. Yeah. So in practice, you will use neural networks to represent your Q functions. And you will treat this as a label. This is your output of the neural network. Data. So practical algorithms like looks like this. And you will try to minimize this error, your gradient descent. So in the very end of this, you transformed RL into a supervised learning problem. That's the idea. I mean, we're out of time, but we can talk more about it. I kind of skip a couple of steps in the end. So yeah, so the label, you treat this part as a label. And because what you like, what you want to minimize is the difference. What you saw was the expected reward and what it is after collecting one experience. So what happens in practice? You collect a buffer. It's called experience replay of different interactions with the environment. It will give you all those like tuples: state, action, reward, and next state. And you have like a bank of them by interacting with the environment. And then once you have that, and like when you do this, you can actually run any policy. So this algorithm is off policy. You can run any policy and still evaluate the Q function for the optimal policy, which is.
Shouldn't the gamma be in the tuple?
Gamma is like, you know, it's constant. So those values will change, but gamma is always constant, yeah. But you're right, yeah. You interact with the environment, you collect experiences, then you run this supervised learning algorithm, and then you redo the same again. You can actually do this online. You can collect one experience, improve the Q function, et cetera, et cetera, until convergence, yeah.
So gamma is a hyperparameter for like the, for the maximize or the optimization of the Q function, but
yeah.
Then we learn it.
We don't learn it. No. We learn the Q functions based on gamma, right? Which is not exactly what you want, but that's what's done in practice.
Didn't we just say gamma is a label?
There's gamma and y, is that right?
Huh?
There's the gamma and the...
Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah, this is y. This is not gamma.
And what is...
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
What is y?
Oh. That I was confusing. Huh?
It's the first squiggly thing?
So temporal difference is... Is this whole thing?
Okay.
Oh. Okay, I'm breaking down.
Wait, is that why in the temporal difference?
Okay? Yeah. So this is your label. And that's what you want to learn. So actually, when you take the gradient, you treat y as a label. So it means when the gradient is taken, it's taken only from. This term, not this one, even though this Q function is also dependent on theta. It's kind of weird. It's called semi-gradient or something like that. And this is the algorithm that solved the breakout problem I showed yesterday. So it's like full circle. So I think we can stop here.